Vasudevaya. Om Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, 28th chapter, text number 30. Tasham sa janayam chakra atvajam asite kshanam yaviyasa sapta sutan sapta Dravida Bhubhrita Tasyam sa janayam chakra Atma jam asitikshanam Yaviyasa saptasutan Sapta Dravida Bhubhrita Tasyam sa janayam chakra Atma jam asitikshanam Yaviyasa saptasutan Sapta dravida bhubhrita Tasyam sa janayam chakra Atma jam asitikshanam Yaviyasa sapta sutan Sapta dravida Tasyam sa janayam chakra Atma jam asitikshanam Yaviyasa sapta sutan Sapta Dravida Bhubhrita Sasyam Sajanayam Chakra Atma Jam Asitikshanam Yaviyasa Sapta Sutan Sapta Dravida Bhubhrita Ladies. Sampa janayam chakra Atvaja masitekshanam Yaviyasa sapta sutam Sapta dravida bhubhrita Tashyamsa janayam chakra Atmajam asitikshanam Yaviyasa sapta sutan Sapta dravida bhubhrita Tasham through her Saha the king Janayam chakre Begat Atmajam, daughter, Asita, blue or black, Ikshanam, whose eyes, Yaviyasa, younger, very powerful, Sapta, seven, Sutan, sons. Sapta, seven, Dravida, province of Dravida, or South India, Bhu, of the land, Bhrita, kings, King Malayadvaj fathered one daughter who had very black eyes. He also had seven sons who later became rulers of that tract of land known as Dravida. Thus, there were seven kings in that land. Please repeat. King Malayadvaj fathered one daughter who had very black eyes. He also had seven sons who later became rulers of that tract of land known as Dravida. Thus there were seven kings in that land. Purport. King Malayadvaja was a great devotee, and after he married the daughter of King Vidarbha, he gave her one nice daughter whose eyes were black. Figuratively, this means that the daughter of King Malayadvaja was also bestowed with devotional service, for her eyes were always fixed on Krishna. A devotee has no vision in his life other than Krishna. The seven sons are the seven processes of devotional service: hearing, chanting, remembering, offering worship, offering prayers, rendering transcendental loving service, and serving the lotus feet of the Lord. Of the nine types of devotional service, only seven were immediately given: the balance, friendship, and surrendering everything were to be developed later. In other words, devotional service is divided into two categories, namely Vidhi Marg and Raga Marg. The process of becoming friends with the Lord and sacrificing everything for him belongs to the category of Raga Marg, the stage of developed devotional service. For the neophyte, the important processes are those of hearing and chanting, Shravanam Kirtanam, remembering Krishna, worshipping the deity in the temple, offering prayers, and always engaging in the service of the Lord and worshipping the lotus feet of the Lord. The word Yaviyasa indicates that these processes are very powerful. After a devotee engages in the processes of Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Pada, Sevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, and is able to secure these processes, he can later become a devotee capable of rendering spontaneous devotional service, namely Sakyam and Atma Nivedanam. Generally, the great acharyas who preach devotional service all over the world belong to the category of Sakyam Atma Nivedanam. A neophyte devotee cannot actually become a preacher. The neophyte is advised to execute devotional service in the seven other fields, Shravanam, Kirtanam, etc. If one can successfully execute the preliminary seven items, he can, in the future, be situated on the platform of Sakyam Atma Nivedanam. The specific mention of Dravida Desh refers to the five Dravida Deshas in South India. All are very strong in rendering the preliminary devotional processes, Shravanam Kirtanam. Some great acharyas like Ramanujacharya and Madhvacharya also came from Dravida Desha and became great preachers. They were all situated on the platform of Sakyam Atma Nivedanam. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitan Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So in the beginning, when one does not have spontaneous attraction for Krishna or the devotional service of Krishna, one must strongly engage in Vaidhi Bhakti, or the practice of Krishna consciousness under rules and regulations. So this is our position. And the best place for the execution of this devotional service in practice is the temple like this. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Bhoktaram Yajna Tapasam Sarva Loka Maheshwaram Suhridam Sarva Bhutanam Gyatva Mam Shantim Vrichchati. In conditional life, everyone is very harassed by great anxieties. Everyone is struggling very hard to attain happiness. But instead of becoming satisfied, people are simply filled with so many anxieties. So Srila Prabhupada often said that here in Bhagavad Gita, in this shloka, this is the peace formula, because it is said, Gyatva Shantim Vrichchati. That if one can understand Krishna or God in these three ways, then he will become peaceful. God is the bhokta. He is the enjoyer. We are meant to assist Krishna in his enjoyment. We are not the center of enjoyment. So in the temple, this is, of course, very easily practiced and realized, because in the temple, all the worship, all the glory, all of the celebrations are for the pleasure of Krishna, not for the pleasure of our own selves. And Sarva Loka Maheshwaram, the actual owner and controller of everything is Krishna, or God. Outside, everyone is thinking, this is mine, this is mine. But in the temple, we cannot think like that. We practically practice that everything belongs to Krishna, and I am simply residing here in his service. Suhridam Sarva Bhutanam. Krishna is the kind friend and maintainer of everyone. So in the temple, one need not worry about his maintenance. Who will look after me? Who will provide for me? Krishna is providing everything. So therefore the temple is the best place to execute devotional service in practice. So here it is especially mentioned. There are 9 processes of devotional service, and the first 7 processes are especially for those in Vidhi Bhakti, Vidhi Marg, who are practicing devotional service. And the last 2 are for those who are in ragamarg or in spontaneous devotional service. So the nine processes of devotional service, which are referred to, the verse is given here, partially given here, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmani, Vedanam. This is spoken by Prahlad in the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Here it is said that in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, without becoming a devotee in spontaneous devotional service, one cannot actually be a preacher. Srila Prabhupada says, a neophyte devotee cannot actually become a preacher. So Prahlad, he was not a neophyte devotee. He was preaching to his father. Hiranyakashipu had four sons, the best of whom was Prahlad, and he sent his sons to the Gurukul, or the school of his teacher's son, Chandan Amarka. So after some time, the teachers thought they had taught Prahlad very nicely the subjects of dharma, artha, kama, carefully avoiding Krishna consciousness. So after Prahlad was nicely dressed, bathed and dressed by his mother, he was presented by the teacher to his father, Hiranyakashipu, who had conquered the throne of Indra. So Hiranyakashipu, as naturally, had great affection for his son, took the small boy on his lap, and even tears of affection were coming from his eyes as he patted him on the head, thinking that his five-year-old son could not say anything very intelligent, but still wanting to hear some cute words from his dear son. My dear boy, what is the best thing that you have learned in school? So, Prahlad's reply is a verse that is often quoted by Srila Prabhupada. Tatsadu manye. In my opinion, very good thing that I have learned. Tatsadu manye asura varya dehinam. Prahlad addresses his father, asura varya, oh, best of the demons. Prabhupada used to like to explain how he didn't just say, my dear father, oh, best of the demons. Sada samudvigda dhyam asadgrahat. Srila Prabhupada explains that in Bhagavatam every word is full of meaning. And although every verse in Srimad Bhagavatam is fully transcendental, therefore every verse is important, still it is practically seen that there are certain verses which the acharyas take pleasure in quoting again and again, that these are especially wonderful verses full of very important meaning for all of us. So tatsadu manye asura varya dehinam. Dehinam, dehi means the embodied living entity, the conditioned soul. Sada samudvigda dhyam asatgrahat. Samudvigda dhyam means always full of anxiety. And why? The answer is given so concisely. Everyone knows. Everyone is full of anxieties, especially in Bombay, if you see the faces of people, it's so crowded, people everywhere, cars practically hitting you as you go on the road, cars and rickshaws, full of tension, full of anxiety. What is the cause of anxiety? Many of you have attended school for many years, gone to college also. But it is explained that true eloquence is truth spoken concisely. So imagine you're back in college or you're in school and you ask your teacher, actually no one wants anxiety, but we're all full of anxiety. What is the cause of anxiety? What would the teacher say? Teacher would think, well, that's an interesting question. It's hard to say. There's so many causes of anxiety. But here, Prahlad gives the answer in just two words joined. What is the cause of anxiety? Asat grahan. Asat means that which will not last. That which is not actually existent, really. That which appears for some time and then is gone. And grahan means grabbing onto or being attached to, accepting. Anxiety is due to asat grahan. In this world, all of the objects of our senses are asat. Here today, gone tomorrow. This body is also asat. At any moment, we can lose this body. Flying in an airplane, there is always anxiety. Because if the engines fail, so attachment for that which will not remain causes anxiety. Attachment for this body, attachment for boy is attached to his girlfriend because she is also asat. She may run away with another boy the next day if he's not careful to satisfy her in all regards. So therefore he's always in anxiety. So many ways. So Prahlad is preaching to his father. What is the best thing? Of course, he didn't actually learn it in school, but Hiranyakashipu thought, well, he must have learned it in school, therefore he is chastising Sandanumarika. Why have you taught Prahlad this nonsense? So he says, Hitvatma patam griham andakupam. For one who is overwhelmed by anxieties, having accepted household life, which is nothing but a blind, dark well, sometimes it so happens a well may be not used, and then it becomes covered over with grass. So as you walk along, you don't know, and then fall in to such a well. Very horrible condition. So griha mandakupa. Mandakupa means dark well of material existence. So vanan gato yadharima ashrayeta. Give up this materialistic life and go to the forest and take shelter of Lord Hari. So as soon as Hiranyakashipu heard this, he was furious because Lord Hari had killed his brother, Hiranyaksha. Therefore, he was his eternal enemy. He chastised the teachers, and then teacher said, no, we didn't teach him anything like this. Why are you blaming us? So Hiranyakashipu thought some devotees in disguise, in karmi dress, may have been secretly coming there and teaching Prahlad. So he warned them, be very careful, nobody can come there and pollute my son's intelligence. In the Bhagavad Gita, there is a verse that I am reminded of as soon as I hear this, because Hiranyakashipu said, the boy's intelligence is polluted. He's preaching pure Krishna consciousness, but according to Hiranyakashipu, his intelligence has become polluted. Can anyone think of a verse in Bhagavad Gita which this would remind you of? Krishna says that for what is day for the transcendentalist, that is night for the materialist. And what is night for the materialist, that is day for the transcendentalist. In other words, devotees take pleasure in discussing, hearing and chanting about Krishna, worshipping the deity. But for the materialist, this is night for them. This is horrible. And the materialists are running here and there in various pursuits for their enjoyment. But these are considered very ignorant waste of time by the devotees. So for the materialist, everything is ulta, or everything is upside down. So then Prahlad went back to school, and after some time the teachers were quite satisfied. Now we have taught him properly and no one has polluted his intelligence. So they brought him to Hiranyakashipu again, and again Hiranyakashipu took him on his lap and asked him, now tell me, what is the best thing you have learned in school? And Prahlad said, the best thing is Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Padasevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasham Sakyam Atmani Vedanam. These are the nine processes of devotional service. First time Prahlad was, Hiranyakashipu was, all right, small child, somebody is polluting him, let it be. But again, when he spoke like this, he became very angry. So, there are the nine processes of devotional service, but we should know that the two most important processes, especially for the neophyte, but for any devotee, is Shravanam Kirtanam. All of the other processes are actually based upon Shravanam Kirtanam. Kirtanam is also based upon Shravanam. Without hearing, how can you speak? So this hearing is very important. And this is the life of the devotees. The life of the devotees is hearing and chanting the topics of Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Just like cricket fans, their whole life is talking about cricket. This cricket player, he had so many centuries, and then I remember 3 years ago, and when we were there, when the team was there, and this and that. They know everything about cricket statistics, all the players and everything about them. Then there's the movie fans, Bollywood fans. They know every movie, they know every actor, every actress, who played double role, who played this role, the name of that, this, that, everything, right? So in the same way, the devotees, they become very accomplished in discussing the pastimes of the Lord as described in Srimad Bhagavatam, the instructions of Krishna given in Bhagavad Gita. So that is why when Srila Prabhupada would lecture, he would quote so many different verses and refer to so many passages from Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. Now, how hearing is especially essential. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took the renounced order of life, sannyas, he went to reside in Jagannath Puri. There, in the beginning, he had discussions with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And then after some time, he decided to tour South India. So it is described that when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was going along the path, actually he had no idea of direction. He is just absorbed in the ecstasy of chanting Sankirtan. But still, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya had recommended that when you tour South India, be sure to see Ramananda Rai, the governor of Madras. Although born in a Shudra family, although a politician, there is no second person so expert in understanding the science of Krishna. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to the shore of the Godavari River and he bathed there and just sat down waiting for the arrival of Ramananda Rai. And Ramananda came there. It is described he came with an entourage of 1,000 associates. He was in a very powerful position. He had so many ministers or whatever, musicians also, they all came along with him for him to take his bath in the Godavari River. But as soon as he saw the effulgent sannyasi, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was wonderstruck. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he saw Ramananda Rai, he also became very impatient, wanting to run and embrace him. It is explained Ramananda Rai, he is actually the incarnation of Vishakha. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself. So although the external appearances were different, internally there was a great longing for Krishna and Vishakha to meet after a period of separation and embrace. The Lord remained patient, but then Ramananda Rai came, offered his obeisances, and then they embraced. When they embraced, they both manifested so many ecstatic symptoms and they forgot themselves, just falteringly muttering Krishna, Krishna. And the Brahmins who were accompanying Ramananda, they were astonished. How is it that a sannyasi has become ecstatic upon embracing a Shudra? How is it that the governor of Madras, so great person, has become restless while embracing this mendicant? So it was not the proper time for them to talk with so many people. So Ramananda returned home. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was invited for lunch at a devotee Brahmin's house, but then he came back and sat on the shore of the river waiting for Ramananda to come in the evening. In the evening, Ramananda came with just one servant. Then leaving that servant, the two went to sit in a secluded place. So to begin their conversation, and their conversation continued for many days, and that conversation forms a great part of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. To begin the conversation, Lord Chaitanya asked Ramananda, what? No, that was Sanatana Goswami. 10 points reduced from you. Yes. Pardon? highest form of meditation? No. That's not accurate. The highest truth? Not exactly. Of course you're coming little close. Actually, see, that's why sometimes Srila Prabhupada would be giving Srimad Bhagavatam class. There's some different instances, but one I specifically remember, although I was not present there. He was in Los Angeles giving Bhagavatam class. There was mention of the four Kumaras. Then he asked the devotees, who can tell me the names of the four Kumaras? And nobody could answer. And Prabhupada was angry. You're not reading my books? So Prabhupada worked so hard to translate Srimad Bhagavatam, not just for book distribution. Of course, this temple was built by the devotees' book distribution in America, primarily. But the books are especially meant for the devotees. So, Lord Chaitanya asked Ramananda Roy, please recite a verse from Shastra which describes life's ultimate goal. So first Ramananda Roy said, who knows that? I'll give this brand new iPhone as a prize for anyone who can quote the verse. Just an imaginary iPhone, not a real one. Yes. Yes, he quoted a verse from, 2 points for you, 2 points. He quoted a verse from Vishnu Purana, Varna Shrama Charavata Purushena Para Puman Vishnur Arajate Panta Natat Toshanam. What is that? Nanyatat Toshanam. I forgot the last line. Only by the execution of one's duties in Varnashram and worshipping Lord Vishnu in that way can he become satisfied. There is no other means. See, the Varnashram system is created by the Lord himself, as stated in Bhagavad Gita. Chaturvarnam maya shristam guna karma vibhaga saha. So by performing one's duties in the Varnashram system, one certainly satisfied Lord Vishnu. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not accept this. He said, this is external. Please tell me something better. So sometimes Srila Prabhupada would be discussing this with devotees. And sometimes the devotees would say that Lord Chaitanya rejected Varnashram. Prabhupada would say, no. It's not that Lord Chaitanya was rejecting Varnashram, but he wanted to discuss some very elevated topics with Ramananda Roy. So for him, in that mentality, Varnashram was not sufficient. So then Ramananda Roy next suggested, he quoted a verse from Bhagavatam, which I do not know in Sanskrit, but the gist of the verse is that when one carefully weighs the good qualities and the faults of one's prescribed duty in Varnashram, and therefore sees that actually the fault or the trouble is far outweighing whatever worth there is, one should give up his duties and accept the renounced order of life. So in this conversation, Ramananda Roy also quoted from Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna says, Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mamekam Sharanam Braja. Give up all Varnashram Dharma and other dharmas, just surrender unto me alone. So this was also rejected by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Of course, this may sound strange to us, that how can Lord Chaitanya reject Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mamekam Sharanam Braja? This is the Sarva Guyatamam Bhuyo Shrunume Paramam Vacha, Krishna says. Now listen to the most confidential understanding of Bhagavad Gita again. Manmana Bhavamad Bhakto Sarva Dharman Parityajya. This is the most confidential understanding. Well, Srila Prabhupada explains that Lord Chaitanya rejected this as just being a negation. Varnashram means to accept materialistic duties under the Varnashram system, and that Sarva Dharman is just to reject this. So Ramananda Roy also said, well, to give the results of one's activities to Krishna, this is life's ultimate goal. And he quoted Bhagavad Gita, Jat karoshi jarasnasi jajuhosi dadasi jat jat tapasyasi kanteya tat kurusha mad arpanam. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer and give away, whatever austerities you perform, do it as an offering unto me, Krishna says. So Lord Chaitanya rejected this also, saying this is also external. This is karma mishra bhakti, that I will do something that I like to do and then I will offer the results to Krishna. So then Ramananda Roy quoted a verse which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took as jnana mishra bhakti. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Na Shochati Na Kangshati Sama Sarveshu Bhuteshu Madhvaktim Labhate Parang. That Parabhakti, pure devotional service, is actually performed on the liberated platform, the Brahma Bhuta platform. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also rejected this. And then next, Ramananda Roy quoted a verse from Bhagavatam, which is a prayer of Lord Brahma, after Lord Brahma stole all of Krishna's cows and cowherd boys, kept them within a cave, just to test whether this Krishna is actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Afterwards, when Krishna defeated him, Brahma came and offered very nice prayers. So Ramananda quoted a prayer that Gyane Prayasa Mudupasha Damanta Eva, that when one throws aside all attempts for jnana or speculation to understand the Supreme, and instead engages his body, minds, and words in the service of Lord. In this verse it is sthane stita shritigatam. One can remain in his position, whatever position he's in, but he should hear very carefully the topics of Krishna consciousness from the pure devotee. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted this, that this is the beginning of further advancement in Krishna consciousness. So this hearing, this is actually the most essential part. Our time is run out, I believe. As the sign here says, please finish Srimad Bhagavatam class at 9 o'clock. It is now 9 o'clock. But I want to just point out another very important verse which Srila Prabhupada quoted many, many, many times, which stresses the importance of hearing. Yasyatma buddhi kunape tritha tuke. Many times Prabhupada would call materialistic persons no better, just animals, two-legged animals, animal civilization. This is animal civilization. Sometimes it might be perplexing, especially in the West, so big cities, so much sophistication. How can you call them animals? Dogs can't create computers and all of these things. But the important thing is yasyatma buddhi kunape tritatuke sa eva gokara. This verse says, one who considers the material body, which according to Ayurveda is made up of tridhatu, kapha pitta vayu, one who considers this body to be the self, sa eva gokara, he's no better than a cow or a donkey. But not just one who considers the body to be the self, swadhi kalatradishu, one who considers his family members, they are mine. Bhoma ijadi, who worships his place of birth, Bharat Mata. And yatirta buddhi goes to a place of pilgrimage. Yatirta buddhi salile na karichi janesha bigyeshu sa eva gokara. Goes to a place of pilgrimage, Kumbh Mela, goes to Vrindavan, goes to Haridwar, just to take a bath in the sacred river there, but doesn't inquire, doesn't want to hear from the saintly persons who are residing there. Saiva Gokara, such a person is no better than a cow or an ass. So hearing is very, very important. You are all very nice devotees. Many of you living in the temple here, many of you coming on Sunday or coming many days. If you want to advance in Krishna consciousness, the best way is to carefully study and discuss Bhagavad Gita first and then Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita. Just as the cricket fans know everything about the cricket scores and the cricket players, just as the Bollywood fans know everything about Aishwarya Rai, Abhishek Bachchan, Amitabh Bachchan, this, that. So know everything about Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. All right, thank you very much, Hare Krishna. Are there any questions? Yes?
My understanding was that Arjuna was Ramananda Roy. And you're saying that Vishakha was Ramananda Roy. So are they both Ramananda Roy?
Yes, actually. Well, I just read in Chaitanya Charitamrita where Prabhupada says that Ramananda Roy was the incarnation of Vishakha. But elsewhere it is said that he is the incarnation of Arjuna. So there are other instances also where a devotee is an incarnation of two personalities. My only answer is achintya ye kalubhava natams tarkena karichit. That which is inconceivable, don't try to speculate how it is. It's certainly inconceivable to me, and I don't remember reading any explanation by Prabhupada as how this could be. Yes, other question?
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
You were talking about Sahaiva Gokara, like how it is equivalent to we being animalistic if we do the following. One instance that you said is that if you consider your motherland to be worshipable, then that is you're no better than an animal. But there is one instance where Lord Ramchandra says that mother and motherland are greater than heaven. So how could you just explain both of them?
Where does Ramchandra say that?
I'm not sure of the reference, but I read it recently.
Well, I have read Valmiki Ramayana and have even written a summary version. I don't remember Ram saying that, but of course, the motherland of the Lord is worshipable. Vrindavan, Dham, and Krishna are non-different. So the land of Vrindavan is worshipable. But if I think where I was born, that is worshipable because I was born there, then that is foolishness. Just like my mother. When I was a child, we used to go, my father, my mother, my sisters, me, we would go on a trip far away in the car, vacation. Then coming back, my mother would say, oh, back to God's country. Her own place, back to God's country. So, like that.
Second question is that... Yes. Just like Prabhuji was talking about Ramananda Rai's original position, even I have a thing, because as far as Advaita Acharya is concerned, there's one place where it said that Sadashiva came down as Advaita Acharya, and the other place where I was reading it says that Advaita Acharya is the combination of Sadashiva and Mahavishnu. So what is the true explanation for this?
Same answer. It's inconceivable.
So when we talk about this subject matter, so what are we supposed to say for that?
When we talk about it, mean when you preach to others?
Yes, yes.
No. Preach to others, ABC. If you want to go teach small children, why you talk about analytic geometry? First teach one and one is two. When Prabhupada preached to guests, he didn't preach on this subject matter. Just like once some devotees in Los Angeles, they came to Prabhupada and they said, Prabhupada, in the Krishna book it says that King Ugrasena had some 4 trillion personal bodyguards, or some very high number of personal bodyguards. So he said, how can we explain this to people? Prabhupada said, there's nothing else for you to preach. Why are you preaching this? There's nothing else to talk about? So the thing is that we cannot understand everything logically. Of course, Prabhupada gave much logic. Many things can be understood logically. I can understand logically that I am not this body because I had the childhood body. That body's gone. I'm still here. Therefore, I'm not this body. But other things cannot be understood logically. The attempt to do so, that is called Andakupa Nyaya, Kupa Manduka Nyaya, the frog in the well, the logic of the frog in the well. So Prabhupada gives the example of, there's a story that a Narad Muni went to Vaikuntha. And he was coming back, he met a Brahmin, learned Brahmin. Oh, you were in Vaikuntha. What was Lord Narayan doing? Narad said he was putting an elephant through the eye of a needle. Come on, don't tell me these stories. Why are you joking with me? Then Narad Muni went to a simple shoe repair man who was a devotee. Oh, Naradji, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Prabhupada. Where have you come from? I was just in Vaikuntha. Really, what was Lord Narayan doing? He was threading an elephant through the eye of a needle. Oh, how wonderful. Oh, why do you believe this? How can you believe this? I'm sitting underneath this great banyan tree every day. In this banyan tree, there's millions of fruits. Inside there's millions, so many seeds. Within each tiny seed, there's the full banyan tree, at least the information for the full banyan tree is there. And that banyan tree will produce so many millions of other seeds for millions of trees. Within that seed, the great banyan tree is there. So what is astonishing if the Lord threads an elephant through the eye of a needle? So we cannot use our mundane understanding. If these things are explained by the acharyas, we can just accept the explanation or explained in the shastra. But if we don't have a particular explanation, we cannot try to figure it out.
Last question. We always talk about dharma, artha, kama, moksha. Dharma, okay, I mean, we talk about Sanatana Dharma there. But why is there a reference of artha, that is economic development and kama in these four aspects? I mean,
These are the four purushartha. These are the four interests of human beings, the four goals of human beings. Means in conditional life, dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. Because in material life you need some economic development. And for what? So you can gratify your senses. This is material life.
But gratifying the senses again, how is that? I mean, because we say that is our material disease, that we come to this world to gratify our senses. So that being the root cause, how can...
Well, the Vedics, literatures prescribe paths for all people, not just for Paramahansa. Of course, Srimad Bhagavatam is Paramahansa Samhitam. It is meant actually for the most elevated souls, but the Vedas are for everybody. So there's Pravritti Marg and Nivritti Marg. The Pravritti Marg allows gratification of the senses, but under the regulation of Dharma. Just like, why is there marriage? Marriage is also a license for gratification of the senses, but it is according to religious principles. Karma, akarma, vikarma. Any other question?
Hare Krishna?
Yes?
I give the comment that Prabhuji first question. That sloka, janani janma gariyasya swargadvapi, the one freedom fighter, Swatantravir Savarkar, he wrote that sloka. Not any scripture in mention this sloka.
Okay. Thank you. Yes.
Sir.
Yes.
In this devotional service, on spiritual path, where do I stand, how to feel? Because as much as I do, I feel still it is less. So how you can feel that, yes, I am in this position, still I should improve like that, something like that.
I couldn't hear you properly or understand properly. Could you speak it again a little loudly and clearly and slowly?
In this devotional service,
yes,
towards spiritual way, where do I stand? Is there some way I can feel it? Because as much as I do, I feel still it is less. So where I am going in a proper way, is there I can feel it?
You're saying that you're engaging in devotional service, but how you can know you're going in the proper way, how you can feel it that you're going in the proper way?
Yes.
Well, tasmad gurum prapaddeta jigyasu shreya uttamam. In Bhagavad Gita, tadvidi pranipatina pariprasnena sevaya upadekshanti te gyanam gyaninas tattadarsinaha. There's so many injunctions. To execute devotional service, you must approach a bona fide spiritual master. The most important thing in devotional service is to accept a bona fide spiritual master. So first thing is you must be sure that you are executing devotional service as directed by a bona fide spiritual master. Then the